things. Amen. It could be a church tonight. Glad Brian can make it. Should never from work. God bless you, brother. Amen. Amen. Can you pray? Amen. Can you open up prayer, brother?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in church tonight. Lord, I'm so thankful to be able to come to the place and be around people like faith and to hear your word preached and sing praises to your name. Lord, you're such a great God. Lord, you're so good to us. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you please just speak to hearts tonight, Lord. Speak to each one of us. Give us exactly what we need here, Lord, tonight, so that we can draw close to you, Lord, to be better servants for your cause, Lord. Help us to do your will, Lord, each day, Lord. We just ask that you bless the service tonight. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take your hymn book. We'll start off on page 406 this evening. Page number 406. United Soldier. Page number 406.
Since we're
Amen. Glad to be able to make it to church tonight. Glad we have electricity. I think those, there's some in Catasauqua, I think, that don't have have light right now. I think we got electricity here at the church. Amen. I'm going to read here real quick a prayer letter from Brother Anil Javid, missionary of Pakistan, trying to get over to Pakistan. He says, "Praise the Lord for his grace and mercy on us. He is always kind and blessing us daily with his abundant mercies. We thank you, Lord, for your continual prayers and support and being a part of winning souls for the country, for Christ in the country of Pakistan. Praise the Lord that he blessed our stay in Texas for 4 months. He gave us churches that are now praying for us and supporting us. He gave us a good raise in our percentage and also a few meetings in Texas for the next year, January to April 2023. Yes, we'll be coming back to Texas for more barbecue. God kept us safe in our travels and provided for us. Girls were able to attend 3 VBSs at 3 different churches in Texas and learn many good things from the Bible. We are now in Missouri. The first church that we presented here was Victory Baptist Church in Chicoya Heights, Illinois. We enjoyed the blessed fellowship with barbecue, and by the grace of God, the church also took us on as their missionaries. We are staying at a missions house at Heartland Baptist Church, Perryville, Missouri. We shared our burden with the church, and God also gave us opportunity at the same church to help Brother Serge with Seedline Ministries, compiling Gospels of John and Romans, which is part of World Missions Bearing Precious Seed Ministry. I shared the pictures. God also gave us the opportunity to meet Pastor Michael Hogard in Festus, Missouri, for the first time in 10 years, who preached us the gospel. And led me and my wife to Christ in 2013. It was a blessed fellowship and good memories. My home church pastor, David Bolka, and my teachers taught me good and always told me to obey the commandment of teach others also. The grace of God is using us to teach some Pakistani families through Zoom meeting app. The best part of the teaching showed up when, during our discipleship lesson, I showed them the truth about the real Bible and the other Bible versions that have missing verses. They were all so shocked to see the differences, just like I was when it was shown to me. They had no idea that this happened. They now realize the deception and how the devil has blinded the minds of our people, who know that there are missing verses and important doctrines affected, but still do not take this issue seriously. The reason is because they do not love the Word of God. Through our teaching, some people are getting closer and closer to the truth. Please pray that God helps us to prepare faithful men and women who then will be able to teach others also and serve the Lord in Pakistan. Please continue to pray for Pakistan. There's huge political unrest. Please pray that God opens doors and makes a way for us to preach the gospel among the Muslims in Pakistan. Thank you all for being a part of this mission. Please pray for our deputation. Please pray that God raise up more laborers to reach out to the lost souls here in the U.S. as well as all over the world, Brother Neil. So please keep him and his family in prayer as they strive to try to get over there to Pakistan. So please keep him in prayer. Amen. We're going to close with another song here this evening. If you take your 101 hymn book tonight, we're going to switch over to that hymn book, the 101 hymn book. And page number 99, page number 99 in the 101 book, you find it underneath your seat there. This is one of my favorite hymns. Ellie can't play it yet, so we're going to sing this one a cappella as well. Page number 99, He Loves Me. Page number 99 in the 101 book. So I'll get it started here. If some of you don't know it, just follow along in when you can get a hold of the tune of it, okay? Page number 99. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me because he loves me so. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace
unknown and love beyond degree. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me because he loves me so. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me because he loves me so. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, 'cause he loves me so. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'm very, very glad that he loves me this evening. That he was willing to die for me on that cross. Amen. You take your Bibles tonight back to the book of Jonah. Back to the book of Jonah here this evening. Jonah chapter number 4. Jonah chapter number 4. And verse number 3. Actually, verse number 4. Jonah 4, verse number 4. Before we read this evening, it's interesting. We find in the very beginning of the Bible, Cain rising up and taking his brother's life and not thinking nothing of it. I think you can find Cain was the first PETA member in the Bible. You know, he put more emphasis on the vegetables than he did the Lamb of God, or the lamb that was offered to God. And I think Jonah was the first tree hugger. So I think Cain was the first PETA member, and I think Jonah was the first tree hugger environmentalist, because he ends up caring more about a gourd than 120 souls in the city of Nineveh. Right? I'm mad that a gourd dies, but 120,000 people in Nineveh, you can just go ahead and burn and die in hell. So he cares more about a plant than he does people, and Cain cared more about his vegetables, or, you know, the lamb. You want to take the lamb's life. So, PETA member and your environmentalists here in the Bible this evening. Amen. Jonah chapter 4, verses 4, the Bible says this: Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. And God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and smote it, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, neither came up in a night, and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this evening, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, dear God. I thank you, Lord, that you love me. Lord, I'm grateful for that, dear God. Help me never take that for granted, your love towards me, dear God, that you would go to that cross and die for my sins. And Lord, so I thank you for that this evening. So Lord, I ask now, Father, you'd help us. Lord, I pray you'd open our ears and our hearts and our eyes to see what's written in your word, Lord, that we would draw closer to you, Lord, and stay faithful. Help us just to stay faithful to you. Call us home someday. We pray these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In his name, amen. So the Bible says here, and we looked at it before, Jonah chapter 4, verse 4, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? And we talked about the last couple of weeks that there is a right time, there is a biblical time to be angry. Okay, in 2 Corinthians, you find that Paul talked to those brethren there, and they ended up having a righteous indignation against the sin that was occurring in their church. And God looks at that as a right thing, that it's okay to be angry if it's done with a cause. Okay, if it's done in a right way, with a right spirit, God got angry with the wicked. And we ought to have a hatred towards the things that God has a hatred towards. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. And we've looked at that the last couple of weeks. So, but tonight, I kind of want to move on here. And I want you to look here at verse number 4, which we just read. And the Bible says here, verse 5, I'm sorry, that so Jonah went out of the city. So we find in verse number 4, God asked Jonah a question. He says, doest thou well to be angry? And then we go right into verse 5, and the Bible says, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. So he's going out of the city, he's praying to God, and he basically talks to God and says, God, I knew you were going to do this. We looked at that last week, that you're merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, and that you would repent of the evil. And you changed your mind, God, and it seems like Nineveh and the king and the people have shown repentance. They've turned from the way, they've turned from the violence that they were doing within the city, and it seems like you're going to spare them. And God looks at him in verse 4 and says to him, doest thou well to be angry? And we don't find that Jonah answers the Lord. We're not shown that he answers the Lord. He goes out the city, the Bible says. And the Bible says that as he goes out the city that he sits there and he makes himself a booth. And it's almost like he's watching a movie or something. He goes out the city, he makes a booth, and then he just sits there. What is he sitting there for? He's sitting to see if something will go wrong in that city and God will bring judgment down upon him. You see, this is not a good position to be in for Jonah. Rather than moving on and inquiring of the Lord where God might want him to go next, or rather just returning back to his own country and people, Jonah pulls up a seat just outside the city to see if he can see some fireworks happen. Okay, he's seeing what's going to become in his city. Is God really going to spare it? Or maybe somebody won't get right in that city and God will destroy it because of them and I'll get the first row seats of this happening. Take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 17. Proverbs chapter 24 and look at verse number 17. You know, the Bible shows us how to have a right attitude towards those we don't like. Our enemies. Okay, the Bible shows us how we're to act towards people that are we would consider to be our enemies. And look at Proverbs chapter 24 and look at verse number 17. Look what the writer of Proverbs says here. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So you, if you have an enemy in your life today, the right and proper attitude would not be to get happy if something bad happens to them. The Bible says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. But most of us today, if we have an enemy and something bad happens to him, we're like rejoicing. Yeah, God, you get him. God, you tear him up. That's right. I'm so happy that God finally got him. And the Bible says, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So Jonah automatically has the wrong attitude. He ought not to be going out there and making himself a booth to see what happens with Nineveh. If Jonah, I believe, was really following the Lord, he would have preached there, done what God said to do, And then maybe ask the Lord, Lord, is there something else you want me to do? If not, I'm going to go back to my people now. But rather, Jonah, I think, wants to see the fall of his enemy. Take a Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 5. Proverbs 17, verse number 5. Look what the Bible says here. Proverbs chapter 17, and look at verse number 5. Look what the Bible says in this instance in the book of Proverbs. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. The word calamity means any misfortune or cause of misery, generally applied to events or disasters which produce extensive evils as loss of crops, earthquakes, or defeat of armies. But the Bible says here that we're not to be glad at calamities, because the Bible says that he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. You know, you don't have to go here, but Exodus 23 verse 4 says this, If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Proverbs also says in chapter 25 verse 21 and 22, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. So not only are we not to get glad and rejoice when our enemies fall or something happens to them, the Bible says we should take it the next step. And if they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Now some may say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, my friend, it's also found in the book of Romans. The book of Romans says the exact same thing. Paul basically quotes Proverbs. And the book of Romans says in chapter 12, 19 and 20 to 21, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now look at this. It says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You understand? Take your Bible and look at that verse in Romans real quick. I want to show you something here. Romans chapter 12, I just quoted it, but I want to put two things together real quick here in the book of Romans before we move on to the next point I want to look at. Look at Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 21. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 21. Paul says this right after he gets done talking about enemies. You see, brethren, we're going to get to something this evening that I think is very, very important. This thing with Jonah has, I love that God's given me the opportunity to study through my Bible. I ask you as brethren, as those that believe the Bible, don't just read it. Don't just read it. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, but it's given for certain reason, for doctrine, reproof, for instruction. All scripture. Paul talks about that you can learn from the things in the Old Testament. And you can apply those spiritual principles you can pull out from the Old Testament and you can apply it to your life spiritually here in the New Testament. So I love that God gives me the opportunity to get in a book of the Bible and pull things out from it. Okay? And the book of Jonah is like an enigma to me. You find this man that God gives, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself with some thoughts that I have tonight, but God is talking to Jonah. It's not like an angel's coming from heaven. Jonah, through the book of Jonah, the four chapters, Jonah sometimes is having a dialogue with God. And God is specifically talking to this man. And yet this man still goes off and does what he wants to do. So we ought not to be surprised when we talk to people, maybe about the things of the Lord, or try to help people along with the things of the Lord, if they don't listen to us. Jonah's not listening to God. And God's talking directly to him. And he knows that God's talking to him. So let's not get discouraged if we try to talk to somebody and they give us the deaf ear. Well, Jonah's basically doing that with God. Okay? So look right here in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In the day and the hour that we're living in, brethren, it is very, very important that we don't let the evil overcome us. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be very careful when I say it. We need to be very careful how much time we spend in the evil that is in this world. We need to be very careful, listen, be very careful that you don't go too far with evil. And you understand what I'm saying. Be careful you don't go too far to find out all the corruption that is going on in the government. Because you're going to start entering into areas that you don't belong in spiritually. And you start to further, you say, well, I'm just going to get some information. Be very careful with conspiracy theories. Get the little bit of information you need, and then be careful you don't step over into areas that are not your areas to step into darkness. Because that could then overtake you. And you get caught up in the darkness. There was a good brother in the Lord that put out a video this week, and my daughter showed it to me, and I was like, oh, There's a video game that's now been created, I think, for little kids. I mean, I would think 5, 6, 7 years old. It's called, I think, like The Sacrifice of the Lamb or something. I don't even remember the name of it. But it's got this little cute little lamb. He's jumping around. Just cute. I mean, cute little things. Jumping around in the center of a pentagram. And he's got to go out and get followers. And if they don't follow him, then he persecutes them. He's got to offer sacrifices. He's got to cast spells. Tarot cards. This is for a little kid. Darkness, there's so many satanic symbolisms in this game, I can't even believe it. But talking about killing people that don't follow you, casting spells so that they'll follow you so you can build up your church. This is for little kids. Little kids. But I say that to say, I'm not going to dive completely all in. I've seen enough. I know this is not good. Actually, I just need to see the name and the cover, and I know it's not good. Now, look what Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says. It says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. Who's good? Jesus Christ. Now, look. Take your Bible, flip over to the last chapter in Romans. Romans chapter 16, and look at verse number 19. I'm telling you, too many Christians today are going too far into the dark side. And I'll give you Bible on it. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse number 19. Look what Bible says here. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple, what? Concerning evil. Be very, 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 very careful how far you go in trying to find out what is evil in this world. There was a good brother in the Lord years and years and years and years ago, 20, 30 years ago. My pastor was telling me about a good brother in the Lord, but he got caught up on some of this stuff, and now he's out of church, wife divorced, went off the deep end, lost everything. Because he got caught up too much with the evil. And the Bible says, Paul says to the church there at Rome, be simple concerning evil, wise to that which is good. And you can cross-reference that over to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. What are you supposed to think on? Things that are good, things that are honest, things that have a good report, pure, holy, just. Those things we're to think on. So that we're not overcome with evil, but we overcome evil with good. Same thing about loving your enemies. Overcome them with good, not with vengeance. All right? Now, look back, go to Jonah chapter 4, verse number 6. Jonah chapter 4, and look at verse number 6 this evening. Jonah chapter 4, verse 6. We already see that Jonah's got a wrong attitude. He wants to see these people go up in flames. He wants to see them die. And he wants to see God's judgment upon them. And he doesn't have the right heart attitude in it. But I want you to look at something here. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 4 and verse number 6. Look what the Bible says here. It says, and the Lord God prepared a gourd. Okay? And he made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Flip back over if you have in your Bible and look at chapter 4, verse number 1. So as Jonah sees that God is turning from not pouring out his wrath and vengeance on these people, we go into chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. So we find here in chapter 4, verse 1 that he is displeased exceedingly. And he's very angry. He goes out the city. He makes him a booth. God makes a gourd come up to cover his head. And now he is exceeding glad of the gourd. So he goes from being in a state of complete displeasure about what's happening and very angry. And now he's glad because he's got relief from this gourd. But God prepared this gourd. God adapted, God set this gourd up to help Jonah out and to provide him relief from what he was feeling from the sun there as he sat outside the city and to deliver him from his grief. Now, I said this earlier, that Jonah didn't answer the question that God gave him. God said, "Doest thou well to be angry?" We don't find in Scripture that Jonah gives an answer back to God. Rather, we find that he goes out the city and makes himself a booth. Whether this is intentional or not, we don't know. But what we do know is that he goes out of the city in a state of displeasure and anger. You see, there are many times in our daily lives when we may confront or ask someone about a situation where they might have done wrong, only to have them completely ignore the question, or they squirm around the question by giving some vague answer or completely changing the subject. Now, I'm getting to somewhere with this evening. Jonah, God asked Jonah a question. You see, through this whole book here, brethren, I believe God is trying to get Jonah to see Jonah. I believe God's got a purpose with Nineveh, that he's trying to spare Nineveh. But then as God is trying to spare Nineveh, God's also trying to get Jonah to look in the mirror. Because Jonah has got some serious issues. And I don't think Jonah realizes it. And so God asks Jonah a question, says, "Doest thou well to be angry?" And it's almost as if Jonah's like, he doesn't answer the question. Now this is God asking the question. And you find the same type of attitude back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5 through 14. I'm not going to go to it this evening. When God tries to deal with Cain. God tries to deal with Cain, and Cain gets mad at God because God's trying to deal with him. And Cain doesn't answer the questions. Look back at it. Cain doesn't take heed by God dealing, trying to deal with him. And we find the same type of spirit here with Jonah. Neither does he answer the question, nor does he even attempt to answer the question that God asked him. You know, I think sometimes people think that we're dumb in some situations. I'm sure you've had this happen in your life before. To where you ask somebody a question, and they go off on a rabbit trail, and you're like, you never answer my question. All right? It was a good 5-minute spiel you just gave me, but the question is this again. Right? And I think I'd make a good lawyer, and I think my wife would definitely make a good lawyer. Right? And I don't know how many times as a police officer I'd pull somebody over, that's good, I'm glad. But I asked you this, answer this question. Well, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, good, but this is the question. Can you please answer this question? Okay? And here, Jonah's not answering the question. And he goes out and he builds a booth. Now, the second thing I want you to notice about this portion of Scripture here in chapter 4, verse 5, let's notice also that Jonah's emotions and passions are dictated by his current state of being. Basically, Jonah, as things happen to Jonah, they dictate what kind of emotion and passion he's going to exhibit. He sees that God's not going to destroy him. He gets mad and he has exceeding displeasure. God brings him deliverance, and now all of a sudden he's exceedingly glad. He swings from this side over to this side because of what's occurring in his life. When events go his way, he's happy. But if these events quickly change, he's mad. While leaving the city, he was exceedingly displeased. But now that he's out of the city and has a gourd providing him relief, he's exceedingly glad. The word exceedingly means this: to a very great degree. In a degree beyond what is usual. So as I'm reading my Bible here this week and trying to study this out, it's almost as if the Bible, the Lord puts this word exceedingly in here, and it shows the great swing of moods in Jonah's life. Things are going not the way he wants, he's mad. All of a sudden things start going the way he wants, immediately now he swings so quick from one side to the other that he's either exceedingly glad or he's exceedingly displeased. He's taking it to one side or the other, to extremes, because he can't control, I believe, his passions and his emotions. You see, there are other cases in the Bible, in Scripture, where individuals show an imbalance in their emotions and passions. One must be very careful when dealing with someone in this state of mind or heart. Someone, if you step back and you just observe, and they're quick to switch and sway so fast from one emotion and passion to another, you need to be very careful in how you deal with an individual like that. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 25, and verse 28. I believe Jonah is unstable. And I'm going to show you some verses tonight why I think I've come to that conclusion. Look at Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. Look what the Bible says here. Proverbs 25 and verse number 28. What the Bible says. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Someone that cannot control their spirit. They can't control their spirit. They're as a city that is broken down and has no walls. We've looked at this scripture before. And a city in the old days, or if you build a castle, you put a wall up around that castle. And in some castles over in England and Scotland and Ireland, some of them even have water, or the castle was built in the middle of a pond or a lake. For what purpose? Not to keep people from getting out and escaping, but keeping the enemy from having an easy access into the castle. So what the Bible likens here, spiritually wise, is that if you have no rule over your own spirit, to where something doesn't go your way, and you throw something, or you go down and sit and have a pity party, it didn't go the way I wanted to go. You're a city that's broken down without walls. And I've seen grown adults act that way. Something doesn't go their way. I've seen it, brethren. I've seen it. And they have no control over their spirit. And one little thing doesn't go their way, and they tip off on it. And they're like a city that's broken down without no walls. And that's a dangerous person, my friend. That's a very dangerous person. And I'm here to say this morning, this evening, we're raising a whole generation out there that's a city that's broken down without no walls. And something instantaneously doesn't go their way, and it's going to get worse and worse. And Jonah is this way. God doesn't do what he wants. Jonah's dictating to God, saying, God, you should have done this. And God's not doing it. And Jonah's like, walking out the city. Exceedingly displeased and very angry. Look, when you read your Bible, put yourself in a situation. It's not like Jonah's walking out the city like, yeah, all right, that didn't happen. I'm glad. But the Bible says he's walking out the city exceedingly displeased. He's walking out with purpose, and he's mad because God's not doing what he wants God to do. And then he sits up, he makes this booth, he sits down in the booth. God causes a gourd to grow up overnight over his head, and now he's got relief, and he's like exceedingly glad. Oh, yes, this is wonderful. Take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 32. Proverbs chapter 16, and look at verse number 32. Proverbs chapter 16, I want you to look at verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You see, it's much, and I ain't got time to go into it tonight. You know a perfect individual to study out with that verse right there? Joab. Joab was a mighty man when it come to fight, and he was a good soldier for David, but that man couldn't control and rule his spirit. Because he killed two men that were more righteous than him, the Bible says. He couldn't control his spirit. He's a good soldier. He could take a city. But when it come to controlling his passions, his emotions, he'd stab you in the back real quick. And he took out two men, the Bible says, that were more righteous than he was. The Bible says here, and he that ruled his spirit than he that taketh a city. You see, the inability to control one's spirit can be caused by different conditions. One of which is not having a proper raising as a child. They were never consistently and biblically taught from one's parents or guardians on how to rule their spirit, emotions, and passions. As parents or guardian of a child raises them from an infant up, that child needs to be raised biblically to the point to where they know how to control or rule their spirit, their passions, and their emotions. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. I don't know what occurred in Jonah's life, but Jonah is throwing a pity party now on the hillside right outside of Nineveh. Look what Proverbs 14, verse 29 says. It says here, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So someone that is quick, they're speedy, they're rash with their spirit, they're hasty with their spirit, what are they going to exalt? They are going to exalt folly in their life. And that word folly means a weak or an absurd act, not highly criminal. An act which is inconsistent with the dictates of reason or the ordinary rules of prudence. Now, I'm getting somewhere this evening with this. Is not Jonah acting outside of the dictates of reason? Think about it. Jonah's not thinking right. Jonah has God talking to him, and he's acting in folly. God's saying, doest thou well to be angry? God's trying to get Jonah's attention. Jonah walks out, marches out. And then Jonah gets mad, he's exceedingly glad at the gourd. And then when the gourd, as we look at it later on, the gourd dies, and now he's back being angry again to the point to where he wants to die. He swings so quick from one side to the other if things don't go his way. And he exalts folly, as the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter number 14, verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. You see, Jonah, in his attitudes and actions, shows a foolishness within his heart and life. People often make this comment, that the Lord would just show them a sign or speak to them directly, they would be obedient to his commands. Yet this is often not the case when God speaks directly to those within the pages of Scripture. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 3. Proverbs 19, verse number 3. Jonah, if you look at it, is acting in a very foolish manner. Jonah's not hearing what God's saying or what God is doing. Jonah's more concerned about Jonah than he is about the Lord and the people of Nineveh. Look at Proverbs 19 and verse number 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. So look what the Bible says here. It says, Proverbs 19:3, the foolishness of man does what? It perverteth his way. So if a man's foolish, his way will be perverted. And then it says next, the same individual, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. So he'll have a perverted way, and he'll have a fretful heart because of what? His foolishness. Now, notice here that foolishness perverts the way of man and causes his heart to fret against the Lord. This is Jonah. Now listen to these definitions. The word pervert means this: to turn from truth, propriety, or from its proper purpose. Pervert also means this: to distort from its true use or end. It also means this: to turn from the right, to corrupt. So the Bible says here, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. It corrupts his way. It causes him to turn from the way that's not right. It becomes perverted. And what causes that perversion, what causes that turning, is foolishness. This foolishness also causes a fretfulness. Now the definition of fretful means this: to be agitated, to be violent in commotion, to be vexed, irritated, chafed, angry, and to utter peevish expressions. Is not that exactly what Jonah's doing? For it better me to die than to live. I do well to be angry, even unto death. Jonah is uttering statements that are peevish. He's uttering statements out of his anger, and he's agitated. So Jonah, I believe, is acting in a foolish manner, and it's perverting his way, and it's causing him to be fretful against who? Against the Lord. Jonah's doing Proverbs 19, verse number 3. His foolishness is causing him to pervert his way, and his heart's fretting against the Lord because he doesn't want to do what God's telling him to do. And it's causing him problems and issues. You see, the perverting and fretfulness begin with foolishness, a want of understanding, a lack of understanding, folly. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now I'm going to get some here with this evening as we close up here in the last couple minutes. This is very, very important. You see, the Bible says that foolishness is bound where? In the heart of a child. And the only way to set that child free from that foolishness is by the rod of correction. And as that rod of correction is done correctly according to the Bible, I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about doing it in anger. I'm talking about doing it the correct way, the biblical way, the controlled way. That rod of correction will drive that foolishness far from that child. And basically, when you do that with that child, from the time they're just able to start receiving correction, what you're doing is you're giving them the freedom as they get older to then be able to control their emotions when things don't go their way. They won't be so quick to throw a hissy fit because something didn't go the way they wanted it to go. Like many adults today. Didn't go the way I wanted to go? Well, you didn't get many spankings then when you were little. Because that rod of correction didn't drive it far from you. Proverbs 29:15 says this. It says, the rod and reproof give what? Wisdom. What was the definition we looked at with being a pervert? Lack of understanding or folly. I'm sorry, folly. Lack of understanding. Here the Bible says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 23:13-14 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt what? Deliver his soul from hell. This is Bible, brethren. And this has come from the Lord. And time out ain't going to work. Because you got a generation of young people today that cannot control their emotions, their passions, or their very own self. I've had young people say, I can't even get out of bed. I'm too tired. I got this going on. I'm too tired. I'm glad you're not in my house. There might be some things that kids, as they get older, especially sons, can get away with mama. But they got a good daddy in the house, they ain't getting away with it. And I love my sons to death today. I love my sons to death. I cry over my sons. But if one of them come in and give me a cross look or say something to you, I don't care, son, I'll knock you out. I don't mean that mean. I want my sons to be raised to understand and respect what? Authority. And someday there's an authority you're going to have to give an account to, and that's God Almighty. And see, people today think that God's just like the U.S. government. He'll let anybody in. Right? What are we doing right now? Anybody wants to come in, come on in. By droves. And what? That's damning those people's souls. Because if the U.S. government does it, surely God will do it. I'm not really that bad, and I can get in anyway. No, you can't get in anyway. You can only get in one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. But God is a God of authority, and we've left that off. And when you have a proper authority, you ought to have a fear for that authority. See, some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy about what I'm talking about. But I'll give you an example, and if this doesn't happen, something's wrong with you. I used to be a police officer. And there was a time when I was a state trooper that I would be off duty and I'd be driving down the highway coming up here to visit my family or whatnot, and all of a sudden I'd see a police officer in the median. Now, mind you, even if it occurred in the state of South Carolina, I was one of them. But my heart still skipped a beat when I saw that police officer, and I automatically checked my speed and I automatically started sweating, thinking, oh no. And I was one of them. But what is that? That's a proper fear of a God-ordained authority. And we're missing that today. We're missing a proper fear of authority. Any of you that have ever been to a courtroom and have to stand before a judge, even if you're on the good side, when they say all rise And you got to make sure your cell phone's off, because if it goes off, you're in contempt of court. And you're checking your cell phone 3, 4, 5 times, making sure it's not going to go off. Why? That's a proper fear of God-ordained authority. That judge has got power. And we're talking about a judge here on earth, much less the judge of judges. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Bible says in Proverbs 1 verse 7. So as you train up your child, you're training them to have a proper respect and reverence for God-ordained authority. And that's what's missing today. And for whatever reason, Jonah feels like he can just talk to God any way he wants to talk to God. And it amazes me that God just doesn't say, whoop. Every time I read Genesis chapter 3 and 4, when you get in there with Cain and Abel, I'm just so amazed at God's mercy that God just didn't say to Cain, you're done, get out of here, poof, and knock him over into the Atlantic Ocean. But God shows mercy to Cain. And God deals with Cain, and basically he lets Cain cause his own issues and problems and fall prey to it. Now, some things here real quick as we close up tonight with Jonah. As we look at these principles, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You know why I chasten my children? Because I love them. You know why I try to do it biblically? Because I love them and I cared for them, and I didn't want to see them destroy their own selves because they couldn't control their own spirit. They couldn't control their own emotion. They couldn't control their own passion, and it gets themselves into a bad spot or with the wrong people. Look, too many kids are being raised today and they can't control themselves, and thus they'll get caught up with the peer pressure of this world. And they'll find themselves in situations that otherwise they would never be in if they could control their emotions and their passions. And they find themselves in situations and in dangerous situations, and sometimes losing their own life because of it. Brethren, I had a young man, I gave this story before, Knowledge Sumter. I loved that young boy. I loved that young man. Knew him from the time he was like 8, 9 years old, even younger than that, in the neighborhood there where I lived. I didn't live in a good neighborhood. We didn't live in a good neighborhood. We didn't have a lot of money, so we didn't live in a good neighborhood. Remember this little boy used to come over, and he'd spend time in our house, play basketball with him, and then for a little while I didn't see him no more. His mama had gotten shot in a bad situation. His daddy was in prison for crack cocaine. This boy was being raised by his grandma. And I didn't see him for a while. And then while I was doing the work in the juvenile center, there he comes in one day in the juvenile center. I got talking to him. He gets out after time in the juvenile center. He comes by my house one day and he says, Mr. Chris, I want to do right. I'm doing right. I got my GED. I'm trying to do right. I said, man, here's my number. You need help, you let me know. And then one night on Friday, I think it was Friday, July 17th. This was back, I think, 2017. Friday at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Knock at my front door. I go out to my front door, and I'm obviously skeptical who's at my door at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night. And I open up, and there's Knowledge Sumter. His clothes all torn up. He said, been kicked out of the house by his grandma. I knew he was running with gangs. I knew he had guns. I knew he had drugs and all that. And he said, you remember, he's like, and I had a good talk. We talked for like an hour out there on my front porch. And I said, there's nobody you can stay with. He's like, no, Mr. Chris, I ain't got nowhere to go. He said, maybe my auntie down the road will take me in. So we drove over there at like 3 o'clock in the morning, go up to her house. She said, you can't stay here, honey, because if your uncle finds out, he'll kill me. You can't stay here. So what do you do with this young black boy at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm a white man, and say, what do I do with him? Do I back up my words with what I said? And so I let him in my house knowing that he probably had drugs on him. He probably had a gun on him. Some Christians will say, you're just a fool. No, I'm trying to be a Christian and back up what I preach. And as that boy, I put him in my daughter's room. I mean, my daughter, she went and slept with my sons. And I said, Lord, what do I do with this young man? He ain't got nowhere to go. I'm trying to be a help to him. What do I do with him? And I thought in my head, I'll adopt him if I got to adopt him. So we woke up the next morning, he come out, and he's serious, like, Mr. Chris, I need to do right, but I need to get out of the situations that I'm in. I said, listen, you can stay here as long as you strive to do right. You can stay here. He said, all right. So I said, go get your license, go get all that. He gets that, comes back. Sunday we go to church. Sunday morning we come home from church. He says, Mr. Chris, in my front yard there down in Charleston, South Carolina, I said, Mr. Chris, I got to go take care of something. I said, Knowledge. I said, you had a crossroads, and I knew what he's getting ready to go do. I had an idea of it. I said, you better not do it. He's like, I know, Mr. Crisp, but I got to go do this. I got to go take care of this. I got to take care of this. And I said, you're at a crossroads right now. And he left out my sight. And Tuesday evening, he was shot and killed. And I still remember this day. But brethren, if we don't do things biblically, we end up with situations like that. And you know what? I'm gonna circle this story back around again as we close up tonight. But there was a young man that I dealt with in the juvenile center about the same time named Dante Stokes. I dealt with Dante for a number of times in that juvenile center. He gets out and I get word that he gets out. And one time I get an opportunity to go into prison, which is right across the street from the juvenile center. And so I go into the prison over there across from the juvenile center. This is maximum security prison, had death row on it. And I go in there and I start doing Bible studies with some of those men that are in that prison. And as I'm coming out one of my Bible studies up there in their dormitory areas, and I'm coming down the stairs to go out, here comes Dante Stokes walking up to me. And he's like, Mr. Chris, I've seen you come in before a couple of times. And I didn't want to make myself known to you, but I got to talk to you. I said, Dante, why are you in here? And he put his head down. He's like, I can't tell you why I'm in here. I can't tell you why I'm in here. So I went home and I looked it up and he was in there for murder. But get this. So when I go to Knowledge Sumter's funeral, I find this information out. And the reason Knowledge Sumter didn't have a mom, it was because Dante Stokes got caught up in a bad drug deal and ended up shooting into a car where Knowledge Sumter's mama was laying in. So Dante Stokes kills Knowledge Sumter's mama and affects two lives. One man's now in prison for 40-some years and the other one's now dead in the grave. Brethren, we raise a generation. God gives us principles. God gives us things on how to do things. And if we don't go according to scriptures, we're going to reap what we sow. And this is what's happening in America today because we've thrown this book in the trash can and we go off rather what we feel rather than what God says. And Jonah is in a mess. Jonah's doing what Jonah wants to do. And God, Jonah even has, like I said earlier, Jonah even has God talking to him. And Jonah still runs from it and has an attitude towards God and towards Nineveh. Because of the foolishness he let creep up in his life. I'm going to close with this last verse and then we'll look at these other things next week, Lord willing. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 27 and look at verse 22. We'll close with this verse. There's also a verse in Proverbs that I think everybody in here will probably be familiar with. Proverbs chapter number 27, verse 22. But I'm sure some of you in this room have heard the proverb that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that goes two ways. You train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, the chances are he's probably not going to depart from it. And if you train him up in the way of things of God, good chances, hopefully, that they'll stay with those things of God. But if you raise up a child and you train up in a way that's opposite of what God says, chances are it's going to be very hard to get them to come over to the side to do things the way God wants them done. So I think that verse goes both ways. But look here, I'm going to close with Proverbs 27. Look what this verse says here. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. That word bray means to beat, to pound, to grind small. So what the Bible's saying here in Proverbs 27:22, if you've ever seen it, there's some cultures that have a mortar. And what they do is they put the spices in it. We had one down in the Dominican Republic when we lived down there. We had a mortar and my wife would put spices in there, and the Dominicans where they would put spices in there. And then they would take a pestle and they would beat those spices in that mortar to grind it, to pound it, to get it small to where they could put it in for their cooking. The Bible says you could put a fool in a mortar and you can bray him with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness go from him. Basically, you could take a fool and you could grind him, you could pound him, you can beat him into nothing, yet the Bible says he's not going to forsake the way he's going. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. It's very hard when you get to a certain age and you have not been raised the right way to have the character you need. I'm going to close with this statement. Just because you get saved does not mean that you now have character. You can have your soul saved and eternity secure up there in heaven, but that doesn't automatically equal out to a good raising and equal out to now having a complete character in your life. So it's important. It's so important to let God work in our lives and to do things biblically so that we don't act foolishly and do things opposite from the way that God says to do them and find ourselves into a mess. Next week, we're going to look at 9 things of verses that line up exactly with what Jonah's doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray we take these things to heart, dear God. Lord, I pray we wouldn't let them just go in one ear and out the other. Lord, these are important principles that we can find contained in the scriptures. So Lord, help us, dear God. Lord, help us to grow in character. Help us to grow in holiness. Help us to grow in godliness. And Lord, help us to always have ears to hear, Lord, what you're telling us to do and what not to do, dear God. Help us to have that discernment. And Lord, help us, as I said earlier, Lord, to be simple concerning those things that are good. And Lord, help us to overcome evil with good. Lord, for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. And we'll give you that glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We got a number of things to pray about this evening, number of things to pray about tonight.